Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you all to this service of worship. We hope it is a blessing to you. We especially welcome our guest speaker, Pastor Dan Olson. Dan has served this church in the pulpit, as well as contributing his writing skills to our bulletins and newsletters. It's a joy to welcome him back to our service today. We also welcome Barbara Klassen as our guest organist. Both Pastor Dawn and Colin Welford are ministering at the Unitarian Fellowship this morning. They will be back next week for the first Sunday of Advent. We have a few announcements. Our time of fellowship will be indoors today. Good thing. If you're not comfortable taking off your mask, you're welcome to take a treat home with you. Our local pantries are in desperate need of food. Please bring your donations during the week and place in the designated baskets. During Christmas in the Village on the first Saturday of December, we are hosting our adventure. We need bakers, candle wrappers, and wreath makers. Please sign up on the sheet in the narthex. We are also in need of ushers for the month of December. That sign-up sheet is also in the narthex. And this next Saturday, November 26th at 1 p.m., the funeral service for Eunice Rutherford will take place here in the church. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord. Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 405, Crown Him with Many Thorns, and then remain standing for the liturgy found on page 109.
Thank you.
please turn to page 109 in the front of your hymnals. Great is the Lord,
and greatly to be praised.
Let the people of the Lord praise the Holy and Righteous One. On the day of the Lord, justice will roll on like a river, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Almighty God, we lift our hearts to you, and our eyes are fixed upon your unchanging glory. We rejoice in the promise of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power and majesty. Thanks to you, Redeemer God, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in quietness and humility, but who will come again with power and for all to see. Our Lord Jesus' coming again is a two-edged sword. It comforts us, convinces us anew that your grace is beyond measure. Yet it also confronts us, compels us to recognize our own unrighteousness. Let us put aside our false pride, confess our sins, and receive your affirming love. Please be seated. Gracious Father, we confess that all too often we do not think of our coming King. We do not live our lives in the expectant and obedient waiting to which your word summons us. Too often we do not live with the sense of urgency for the tasks you have set before your church. We put off bringing the gospel to the world and living out your kingdom's values of justice and righteousness. Forgive us, loving Lord. Cleanse us and fill us with your spirit and with power, so that at Christ's triumphant return, we may be counted worthy to stand before you with people of all tongues and nations. Amen. Thanks be to God who has loved us from the beginning and who promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Our sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from the earth. In that day, we will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. Let us rejoice in his salvation. Scripture lesson is found in the book of Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise shepherds up over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please remain seated as we sing hymn number 470.
Thank you. reading from the Gospel of Mark, beginning at the 31st verse. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will lose it, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I can't help but take this opportunity to say that it is good to be here with you once again. Jandine and I were talking as we drove up this morning, wondering how long has it been since we were here. And the best that we can figure, it's been 3 years, or since the beginning of the COVID scourge, shall we say. And it was a long time, but it was good to keep in touch by Facebook. That was a gift to us at the proper time. And so it was still like we were staying in touch and being in worship with you. And so I greet all of you here today, and also to the people who are on Facebook joining us by worship in that manner. And so we again say thank you for having us here. It is a joy to come back, because we always have always felt right at home among you. Have you ever stopped to think that everyone that you know, really everything in your life, not just people that you know, but everything, has some kind of a name? Your friends have names. Jandine, Andrew, Angela, Aaron, the grandkids. Don, Barb, well, you get the point, I guess. And we also use names to identify not just names of people, but of vocations or roles in life. He's a pastor, she's a teacher, a nurse, a neighbor. We also use names to give honor or respect: reverend, doctor, your honor, sir, ma'am. And then further, we identify groups or people with their particular place in life, their points of view. We identify those with a name: Moravian, Lutheran, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, liberal, radical, conservative, Republican, Democrat. And we designate certain relationships with names as well. An associate of yours, again, a husband or a wife, a colleague, your mother, your father, your child, your grandchild, father, mother, friend. Names obviously are very critical to us and very important. They help us to learn about people and know who and what they are. They help us to understand and to communicate with one another with some sense of clarity. There are even times when we name things to control them or to take a hold of them in some manner or other, to wrap our minds around them. How many times has it been that you have had some pain in your body, in your chest, in your stomach, some weird, dizzy feeling that you've got, something that is simply not right, and you worry about it incessantly, and you know what you should do. You need to go to the doctor to find out what it is, and you are so reluctant to do so because you might find out what it really is. And so you keep on worrying, and it gets worse. And the more we ponder it, the more we roll it around in the marbles of our brain, it becomes almost paralyzing. But then finally, when we work up the courage to go in, to find out, hey, what's happening to me? You describe the symptoms, and you find out that there is a cause. And you have a name that is put on whatever it is. You have a handle. You have a name for the disease or the problem. And once you do that, you know the devil that you are battling. And you can go for it and take that devil and wrest it to the ground. But without a name, you simply can't do it. So it's against this backdrop of talking all this business about names that I would like for us to think about Jesus for a while. And a good question for this, the feast day of Christ the King Sunday, is by what name do you call this Jesus of Nazareth? Just who is this character? Who is he? Well, the friends of Jesus, of course, according to the Bible that we read, had all kinds of names and titles for Jesus. They would call him Master or Teacher or Rabbi or Lord. And we too, in our time, use all kinds of names for Jesus, some of them interchangeable. And there is one well-known interchange in the Bible, a dialogue that is very interesting. Peter actually named Jesus. Remember the time when Jesus asked his disciples, say, what are people saying about me? Who are they saying that I am? And then he got up real close and personal. And he looked Peter right in the eye and he said, Peter. And he was looking at the disciples as he is asking this question. And he could just as well have been looking at us too. He got up close and personal and he asked, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, impetuous Peter, came out and he said, well, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And Jesus paused just a moment and he looked at Peter and he asked, well, what do you mean by that, Peter? What's up? What do you think that means? That's what Jesus might have asked Peter. What do you mean by that? Well, Jesus, what it means is that you are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You You will be the head of Israel. You will throw these Romans out on their ear. You'll be the king. You'll live in a palace and you'll do great things. And we'll be your cabinet and enjoy riches and fame and glory. You see, to Peter, that's what the name Christ meant. That's what the Jews, you see, had been waiting for absolute centuries. The expectations of what that name or title Christ meant had a specific and particular meaning. It meant that Jesus, the Messiah, would come and finally relieve the Hebrew people from centuries of wandering through the desert and slavery and bring them into their own. And so the name Messiah or Christ had that particular meaning. And in a sense, if you stop to think about it, Peter was the consummate name dropper. He was good at it. It made him proud to be able to throw around the name Jesus so that it meant for him power and position. Or so he thought. But Jesus says finally, "Sorry, Peter, you got it all wrong. You see, my name, my being called Christ, means suffering and sacrifice. It means dying on the cross. That's what it means. And for you to use my name means picking up your cross and following me." Haven't you heard people say, they're laying in the hospital bed, they're at home, they're suffering, and perhaps you've said it before, there's some malady, something that is stuck upon you, and you say, "Well, that's my cross to bear." No, it isn't. That is not your cross to bear. You may think so, but to bear the cross is never, never, ever something that is forced upon you. It is rather something that you pick up willingly. It is an act of will, of choice. Yes, it might be difficult, but it is our decision. It is our decision to go out of ourselves, to get out of our own way, in order to be of service to others, to accomplish something constructive for the good of other people, in ministry, in whatever form that is. It is our way of doing Christ's work in sharing the good news of the gospel by getting our hands dirty, just plain dirty and calloused in doing God's work. And you've been given the gifts to do it. Don't think you haven't. Somewhere in your life, somehow or another, you have a gift, you have a cross you can pick up willingly to help other people. If you haven't found it yet, you will. And if you have found it, hone it and use it even better yet. Yes, get our hands so filthy with picking up the cross that's the way of life that will become immediate to you. You become Christ to your neighbor thereby. Well, Jesus really seems to redefine all of our presuppositions, doesn't he? Everything we think generally about Jesus, I've just destroyed. All of the nice sweet Jesus stuff, I've just thrown out the window, haven't I? Oh, dear sweet Jesus, whatever happened to you? Olson comes here and destroys it all. Well, good for him. I guess I did that on purpose. We need to ask ourselves again, by what name shall we call Jesus? And if we say that he is the Christ, do we attempt to use our own definition of the word? Do we try to sanitize the cross? You know, for us, the cross is never a trinket, and it's never just a necklace. To be a follower of Jesus demands that we accept what he meant by his own cross. To follow Jesus is to know that his power is made perfect in weakness. That's a concept that is incomprehensible to the human mind. That his cross is made perfect in weakness. But that's the mystery of the cross. That's the mystery of this man Jesus. He has invaded this world and opened the wellsprings of God's creative and redemptive power. Truly, I tell you, truly I proclaim to you this day that the King of all creation is Jesus the Lord. Jesus is the King of all creation. Amen. And again I say, Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And now, the ushers will wait upon you for the giving of your tithes and our gifts.
Thank you.
For now, the congregation may be seated before we start the prayers. We have several prayer concerns that I would like to name before you before we continue. One of them, naturally, is for the family of Eunice Rutherford, who has joined the Church Triumphant. And then also Kathy Kirkland, who is still in the hospital. And then the family of Mandy Hagman. And this is a rather sad thing, that Mandy is the wife of Leif Hagman, and Mandy was struck and killed while on a bike tour in Spain. Now, Leif Hagman is a brother of Eric Hagman, who is in hospice care in Sturgeon Bay. So that family, you see, is struggling with a lot of grief. Now, if you don't know the Hagman family, they are related in some regard to Hetty Heise. And then, I think I named the others, Kathy, Eunice, and the Hagman family. And so, that having been said and introduced to you, will you rise for prayer? Our Lord and God, the King of all that lives, moves, and has being, we humbly come before you in prayer to say that which you already know, but for which we struggle to find appropriate words. But we rehearse them just the same. We ask that you indeed will be the King of our lives and of all this world, so that all people will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We make bold to ask that you would forgive our sins and create clean and right hearts and minds within us. Today we lift up before you the family of Eunice Rutherford. We lift up before you Kathy, who is hospitalized, and the family of Mandy Hagman and Eric. It is difficult for us to fathom the depths of pain or the struggles with which people contend each day. But by your mighty power, we know that you can lift them up and give them hope, power, strength, and healing. And this coming week, as we enter into Thanksgiving Day, we pray, dear God, that as families gather, they will be safe, and the purpose for that day will be well remembered, and thanksgiving for all of your good and gracious gifts will indeed be given. For all good things, for the beauty of each life, and for the potential of each new day, we give you praise and hearty thanks. We do this, dear Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now today, for something a bit different, I'm going to have you sing the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's been said that the lyric of this Lord's Prayer was written by a very close friend of Jandine and I, of mine, a local pastor when we were in Merrill. and he was a wordsmith of the first order. And this tune is something, is one that you will recognize immediately. So it's not difficult. And Barb is going to play the first phrase and the last, so that you'll catch on immediately. And then, therefore, we will sing the Lord's Prayer with delight. To show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, beneath you to uplift you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.